we're back, everybody. Episode 87.
Yep.
And we're back with Kyler. Hello, Kyler.
Hello, hello.
Not like I said hello to you all day. We're being formal on the radio now. Yeah. A radio or podcast? Is it? I don't really know.
This is digital.
Digital.
Yeah.
It's whatever we want it to be. Wherever we want it to be.
True.
How about that? All right. Episode 87. Here's what I thought we would talk about today on an excellent suggestion from Mike, since we are working on a bunch of, how do I say it without saying it? Food packaging. Right. We're doing a lot of food product for a delicious hamburger product. Right. Mm-hmm. And Angus beef burgers, things like that, right? And the idea, you know, so lots of photo shoots, lots of dressing of food, nothing flavor triggered, more important than, you know, beautiful food photography, right? Yep. If you want something that looks delicious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't fake it, right? Some brands, you know, healthcare or other, you know, like you don't, you know, it's not as contingent necessarily on imagery, but when we're talking about food
is super important.
Food and beverage, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's gotta look good. It's gotta look bang on, man. It's gotta be delicious looking.
It's gotta look always a lot better than the actual product.
Exactly. So the joke is, hey, let's you know, is it real, right? I mean, what's the deal with food photography in general? Why does that Big Mac look so much better than the actual Big Mac than you get, you know, in the bag, you know, that type of thing.
Because it's not an edible Big Mac.
Yeah, exactly. You know, food styling matters, right? So that's today's topic. I think when I think about, I mean, I've done a tremendous amount of photo shoots over the years. So I'm also the son of a photographer, right?
Yeah.
So when I think about I'm just going to start going if that's cool with you. When I think about my journey of food styling and food photography, it has come a long way, my friend.
Yeah. And here's you would know this a lot better than I do.
Okay. But, well, hey, I'll do the heavy lifting on talking. We can start back in the dark ages, pre-digital photography, right?
Okay.
Where we would do, I remember one of my first gigs, early on, still probably had dinosaur shit on my shoes, you know, way back in the day. You ever heard that expression?
No, I'm gonna use it now.
Yeah, you're so old, you got dinosaur shit on your shoes?
I like that.
Yeah, pre-digital, right, on most any photo shoot, you would shoot Polaroids, right? I mean, Polaroid, God, are they even a brand anymore? I mean, it's a brand for like hipsters
now. It's a brand. I think you can still get Fujifilm because they brought back those little
disposable things, whatever, right? But shake it like a Polaroid picture, all that.
Right.
So what you do is you get all your lighting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You do everything. You'd be shooting black and white Polaroids, okay? Nothing in color. Everything black and white just to make sure your lighting was going on, good things are happening, right? And then we would shoot 2.25 transparency. So the old school 2.25 actual transparencies that then you would shoot everything. You have no idea what you're shooting.
Right.
Because you can't see anything, right? Then you send it, you know, you roll up your film, seal it up, bring it to the color lab.
Uh-huh.
They develop your film, right? Which is little transparencies. You've got your little loops, mm-hmm. your little magnifying glasses, right? So you get all those sleeves back.
Right.
You know, either hang them up on the window or you use light table. You're looking at everything, mm-hmm. right? To determine which of those photos you've selected to enlarge,
to spend
the money. Because, this one's better than that one, right? Spend the money to enlarge it to see what it is, right? And then, you know, drum scan those transparencies to give yourself a digital file, right? That maybe you could manipulate, you know, pre-Photoshop layers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Right? So I remember I used to do a lot of, it's funny how I've worked with pets so much in my career, but I used to do a lot of pet food stuff back in the day. We'd shoot dogs all day and you have no idea if any of these photographs were any good or not.
Yeah, before I was here, you guys shot the dogs that are on the old Roy package.
Yeah, we shot all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but that's recent. I mean, that's recent. Yeah, I a million years ago, I did a project, I'll name drop, I did a project with a company called Cryovac, Sealed Air. Very, mm-hmm. a lot of people know them.
Yeah.
They make a lot of, well, I'm not going to go into it, but they make tons of stuff. They made a resealable, they don't make the dog food itself. They make like the bag that the dog food goes into, right?
Sure.
And it was, you know, I think they still have them, but they have the dog food where it's like a big 25, 50 pound bag.
Yeah.
And you pull the string, you know what I mean? And you open it up. And then, you know, by the end of that food is, you know, maybe stale or whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
So Cryovac made this pet food packaging that then they would sell to like Pedigree and all, you know, Purina all the things, whatever. You know, hey, put your dog food and your cat food and stuff in our packaging. It keeps the food fresher, right?
Sure.
So we did an entire ad campaign and everything all about this, the sealing of you know, freshness and keeping fresh, right? But we shot everything 2 1/4. I mean, we shot, nothing was digital, you know,
right,
and we spent an entire day shooting dogs. And I remember this photographer, great trick, he would use cheese.
Sure.
He would rub cheese on, he would put his lens cap on his camera, rub his lens cap with cheese, get the dogs to sniff, start licking the lens cap, whatever, then
take it off,
pop it off, click, 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 you know, and then cover it back up. I mean, you don't want the dogs licking your actual camera, right?
No.
But I was like, man, what a great idea. You know?
Yeah. So, when I take a picture of my dog, I'll hold a treat over, just like right over the lens
on
the phone.
Okay. You know? That's cool. Yeah. So anyway, this is a weird tangent. I don't even know how I got onto this. But anyway, point being is that's how we used to shoot things pre sort of digital, but still when pre-digital photography, but the workflow was digital. I mean, we're still on Macs and everything, right?
Okay.
So how this relates to food photography is a couple things. I got a couple funny stories. One was for soup. I won't name the company, but a soup brand.
Okay.
And one was for cereal. Right. There was only two big cereal companies, so take your pick, right?
Yeah.
So I remember they spent, so you think about, gosh, cereal in the 80s, early 90s, it's all about the photograph of the bowl of flakes or whatever the cereal
with
is,
the milk,
with the milk splash coming. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was it, right?
Yeah,
now, a lot of, now the rules back then, I don't know what the rules are now, but the rule, because we've actually done a big sea change, I can talk about that later, but the rules back then was, or were, the only thing that had to be real in any food advertising was actually the product that you were selling.
So the milk doesn't have to be real.
So the milk did not have to be real. So you picked on up on that immediately. So we, at the agency I was at, they hired a sculptor. The milk was fake.
Oh,
the milk was a sculpture.
The splash
is
what, plaster or something?
Yeah, exactly. Everything, the, you know, the spoon is whatever the spoon is. The actual splash was just a sculpture.
So you could just get the same splash every time, different angles.
But and you don't get the sogginess of of the milk, right? So and then, man, I mean, I was a lowly, you know, I mean, borderline intern, right? So you know, you dump out 20 boxes of Frosted Flakes or whatever the cereal was, right? And then you pick through all of those to find, like, you know, the 100 or 200 most photogenic flakes, right?
Right.
And then you have somebody with a pair of tweezers, you know, placing all of that in this bowl in the fake skull. Yeah, it's totally insane, right? You know? So that was an interesting, fun, you know, just sort of interesting factoid about how food was shot. Then also for soup, hey, man, it's all about the, oh, the warm cup of soup,
the,
you know,
steam.
The steam coming off, right?
Yeah. How do you fake that?
Well, here's what was done, right? So, I mean, it's, you know, it's an ice cold bowl of soup, you know, like, I mean, so you got, I mean, hey, cover your ears here, children, but everybody's smoking cigarettes off camera.
So you're just blowing it?
Blowing the smoke through a straw, right? So you, you would exhale through a straw to direct where you wanted the smoke, right?
Okay.
And then you pop a bunch of Polaroids to see if that's even working, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then it was, hey, the way I breathe the smoke out, the way you, you know what I mean? You got to find whoever is the right,
you know,
smoke wrangler.
You got to fine-tune the smoking.
To get, you know, it was all about, you know, to create that steam, right? And, you know, 80s ads, now this wasn't in the 80s, but 80s ads, you know, very synonymous with that black background, white type,
right?
So it was still, we were evolving out of that. So you still had a dark background, it was in scene or whatever like that, you know. And it was all, it was all cigarette smoke.
It's interesting because, it kind of makes sense because I feel like, and I've never shot steaming soup before.
Yeah.
But I feel like the steam that you see when you're, you know, see a hot coffee or a bowl of soup, is visible to you in the real world, but it probably won't show up very much on a photograph. Whereas smoke, you know, you would think that maybe that's too much,
too
heavy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
probably for a photograph, it comes off looking like steam.
But if you just, I mean, well, it's and it's not a
you
huge
don't want,
like
you don't
like,
want a Humphrey Bogart just pow.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
Right on
it's really
of
more
soup.
Of a puff. It's like a get it out there and then let it kind of do its thing, and then you. You know, and then
let it dissipate just a tad, and then
exactly,
wow.
exactly.
Interesting.
So yeah, no, that's kind of weird. Kicking along the food photography with cereal, right? I did work on Kellogg's for 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, right? And I will say that what's interesting is we evolved that. We, you know, in most cereal scenarios with cereal and milk, all of the milk now is Elmer's glue.
Oh,
yeah, it's all because it's super white.
Sure.
Right. And you can, again, take a straw or take a toothpick or whatever, and you can blow in and get the bubbles. You know how you pour a glass of milk and you get those little bubbles along the edges of either the cup or the bowl or whatever? You can really get those really, really well with Elmer's glue.
Interesting.
Right? And again, we're selling the cereal. We're not selling the milk.
Right.
So, you know, but you can get the flakes and whatever the cereal is to come in at angles and, you know, you could manipulate everything, if that makes sense.
Interesting. Well, that brings me to my question, which would be, if you're looking at a cheeseburger, a fast food cheeseburger commercial, right?
Yeah.
That's probably where when I think of food styling, that's the first thing I think of is the shining, the sheen of the bun.
Yeah.
You know, all of that.
Sure.
So you're saying that because, call it Burger King or whoever, is selling the burger and the pat, you know, they're selling the patty, the lettuce.
Yeah, they're selling everything.
All of that is real.
It's all real.
But they're rubbing a little Vaseline on the bun?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that kind of the approach?
Yeah, you oil everything. Now, I will say, as I foreshadowed at the beginning of the thing, how things have changed dramatically with digital retouching, but also with just the emphasis on food styling and whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. And how fast you can capture things with a digital camera. That's not saying that, hey, you can you can do things, you know, but the workflow is so much faster that you can do, like, now when we shoot with a food stylist, right, you'll have a stylist that will do what's called a make ready, like make a plate or make a burger or make a whatever, throw it on set so it's sitting there. Mm-hmm. That's not the hero image, right?
Right.
Then you get all your lighting, everything done, right? Well, the food stylist is still, or, you know, and that potentially that team is still rocking back in the kitchen, you know, getting all the different, you know, cooking all the different burgers, the different buns, the different
sure.
Then creating the hero image. And then you can bring that on set, you know, manipulate that for an hour or so, shoot it a bunch of different ways.
You hit click and then it pops up on the screen.
Yeah.
You know, I know we can sit there and say,
move that sesame seed over a quarter of an inch, move that thing here. You know, I'm
a bit more spritz, something, you know, whatever it is.
I'm very well known for, you know, everybody gives me shit for tangents. It's always about, like, where are the tangents? Oh, the fork is just optically touching where the napkin is, where you know what I mean? So I'm always looking at tangents.
Because you're viewing it
from
a compositional standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Which a lot of photographers are too.
So I think, I'm no expert. I just have my experience.
Right.
But I think it's funny how at the beginning of my career, most of the stuff was fake. And now everything is real. Like, everything we shoot for every product on everything, whether it's, you know, what we're selling or not, almost everything is real. Now, there are some tips and tricks that we still use, right?
Sure.
You think about the beer can or the Coke can or the bottle and the spritz.
Right.
Right.
The sweat.
The sweat.
Condensation.
Yeah. I would say most of the time that actually is real.
You
think
so?
You can still spritz it. Well, because nowadays you get it running down the sides.
I was going to say, sometimes in the commercial, you will see it running. It can only be real.
But they've got glycerine, right, where you know they you can spritz the outside of a glass or a can or a bottle or whatever like that. And then it's like spray paint. You know what I mean? It's bubbles that just stick and it's permanently there.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's fake. One of the things we just worked on a liquor shoot, right? For was it bourbon? I believe it's bourbon.
It was bourbon. Yeah.
Bourbon rye, things like that. And you noticed something about that shoot, right? What did you notice?
Yeah, the food stylist was using this, like, I don't know what it was made of, silicone or something, but the ice cubes were like some kind of gelatin.
Yeah, it was like a
when
gelatin.
When you cut it, it looked like, you know, one of those large squares that you would get at some fancy bar that goes in your old fashioned.
Yeah.
But you could, like, touch it, and it was squishy, and, and it was very interesting to me because, you know, when you start to think about it, you're filming there, you're shooting there all day.
Hot lights.
You know, that picture is going to change rapidly, right, as the ice melts. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, between the spritz and the ice, you end up with a consistency, and you're able to continue to move it. And
almost universally, all ice is fake. So ice is either glass. Right.
Okay.
They actually make, like, fake ice cubes out of glass that looks, because it has that transparent quality, right? Mm-hmm. Or you've got plastic. Plastic not as
realistic.
Well, it's not as easy to work with because if you want the floating glass, that's why you use the plastic. You know how some ice comes up to the top?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then, what you were talking about is, I think it's not cheap, dude. It's like $400 or $300.
Really?
Yeah, for like a block, like a 9x9x9 cube of this
start making gelatin stuff. What's
thing.
It made out of?
I have no idea.
$400 for that.
Yeah, and it's but then you can cut your ice cubes into whatever shape. So you think about how now we've got all these fancy ices in drinks. You've got the
sphere.
The sphere. That's what I was going. You know,
man, so, those things are fancy.
Yeah, so you can do that. You know, or the huge ice block that's in your bourbon. You know,
yeah,
all that stuff pretty much is fake, which I find pretty interesting. So
I'll tell you what, I'm a little bummed out when I get a real ice cube like that, because I swear if you take that out,
you only have so much.
They're giving you this much drink,
a thimble full of bourbon.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, another fun one from the past. So I think, I'll interrupt my train of thought here, but like, you know, it used to be like, hey, a lot of things were fake. And we had all these interesting tips and tricks. Now, I mean, for the past, 10 years or so, almost, I mean, everything is real. I mean, there are a few little tips and tricks here and there. Like you will, like for Burger King or McDonald's or whatever like that, you'll sear the grill marks on or the grilled chicken and things like that. Okay. You will specifically like, you know,
you'll have like a heated thing.
You'll have a heated thing and you'll burn in the grill marks, you know. There's a lot of dyes and things you can use to like darken food or lighten food, you know, things like that, right? But it still is an actual bun, you know.
Still a real tomato.
Yeah, it's still a real tomato.
But the way that they stack it.
And the cheese is right, you know, that type of thing.
It's as if like if you were to see the back angle of that burger.
Oh, yeah.
Everything would be squished towards the front so you can kind of see a layer of each thing.
Yeah, it depends on how you're shooting. Like, since we're talking about burgers, we'll pick on burgers. You know, if you're kind of coming at it straight on, like hero angle, or you're looking up at it, or, you know, you're going to, it's almost like a wedge. Like the front of everything is hanging out of it looking gorgeous.
Right.
You know, and the back of it is almost pinched in.
It's like you're fanning out a deck of cards.
Yeah. What was that movie where, I'm going to totally ruin this, where, it's Bill Murray's over in Japan doing a commercial.
Lost in Translation.
But remember, he goes to the bar and he has all the clips on the back of his jacket. He's still wearing all the, you know,
to tighten. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's kind of the back of the burger.
Yeah, the rule of thumb is that's the back of the burger exactly. Mm-hmm. Is if it feels weird, it probably looks better in camera sometimes. You know, or if it's a little unnatural, it probably looks better in camera. Right. That's why it's like slouching is what we all do, but you don't want to, you got to stand up straight, you know, that type of thing. Right.
Well, that's why we always look at ourselves in pictures and go, wow, is that what I look like?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, so the transition definitely from fake to real, you know, I used to do a bunch of ice cream stuff in the past. I know that all that stuff is real now, but phyllo dough used to be what ice cream was made of. So I did a bunch of ice cream toppings and like chocolate sauces and things like that. And you think about ice cream, I mean, boom, that thing's gonna melt immediately, right?
Right.
Well, I don't really know what phyllo dough is, but I'm telling you, you knead it together in terms of like, oh, it looks like gold medal ribbon or it's mint chocolate chip or whatever. You use an ice cream scooper.
And then you scoop it.
Yeah, you scoop it like an ice cream, but it has those ridges and those folds. It looks exactly like ice cream, but it never melts. And you can pour chocolate sauce all over it. You can pour, you know, caramel. You can put strawberry
toppings. Now when I think of like a commercial where you can see them, like a Bluebell commercial or something, where you see them rolling the scooper through the ice cream.
Yeah.
And I think of how many times did they shoot that shot?
A lot.
And then how much ice cream, like you're done with it after one, right? One pass, and then you got a whole bucket of ice cream that someone needs to go eat.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for the studio because they got lots of take-home treats, right?
Yeah.
So,
I couldn't handle that job.
Yeah, there's a lot of, food banks usually get a lot of really great support from all that. That's what we used to shoot with the studio. Well, we still do shoot with the studio that had a lot of restaurant groups, you know, and it was, I mean, hey, surprise, it's lobster day. I mean, no one can take home, you know, 60 lobsters.
No, you wouldn't want to. You know. Your car would never recover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yikes. Not in Atlanta.
Well, with the bourbon company, we had to have a bottle to photograph. Yeah. Unopened, and then we had to make all the cocktails to shoot the cocktails. So we ended up with
We got 20 bottles,
an army's worth of bourbon.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I think most of us don't drink hard liquor all that much anymore.
No, not so much. So, but some of those bottles, it's hard to find. So nobody drank this. We got to hold on to this in case we need more.
Friend
photos,
of mine was I mentioned that company, and he was like, "Oh yeah, that's tough to find, or I only have one of those." Or that kind of thing.
Small batch bourbon stuff. You know, it's good. It's exclusive.
Oh yeah, so it's a good gift.
Food photography. I mean, maybe we should have a photographer on the pod sometime.
That'd be cool.
Sort of chat through or whatever. Yeah, it's a fun day at the studio. It's always a learning experience, you know. And it is really interesting, at least for the arc of my career, how it used to be kind of all fake just because workflow was so slow.
Right.
And sort of a little bit of a leap of faith of, mm-hmm. gosh, I hope we got it today. You know?
Right, yeah.
To now where, yeah, boom, you're instant digital high-res imagery and you can manipulate little things here and there, you know. And there's a certain amount of, we'll fix it in post.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to worry about the crack on that bun.
Yeah.
You know, like, we'll just brush that out.
Boom.
Or whatever.
Easy, easy peasy.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an interesting subject because I think this is one of those things that people are seeing all the time, nearly every food commercial they see.
Yeah.
And they don't even think about it. And that's kind of the success of a good food stylist,
right?
Is that all you're thinking is, I want that Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And not, is there Vaseline on top of this sandwich?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've worked with some really, really great food stylists, and they are absolutely awesome. And the best ones are kind of chefs first, that sort of.
Okay, so I was going to ask, how do you get into that industry?
I don't know, because I'm not, I mean, most of the ones that I've worked with were practicing chefs.
So they already know presentation. They already know what something ideally should look like.
Yeah, so here's how you actually cook the dish.
Uh-huh.
But then, again, knowing that the dish isn't going to actually be eaten by anyone.
Sure.
You know, you can, it's not a matter of cutting corners. It's a matter of maybe not cooking it the way it's supposed to be cooked for consumption versus cooking it for a beauty shot, if that makes sense, right?
It does.
Now, there are certain things like, hey, if you're cooking French fries, we're talking about burgers, French fries, like just cook a whole bunch of fries. And then we just sit there and eat the fries and it's delicious. And we always eat the non photogenic ones, you know? But some of the stuff it's, hey, yeah, we can fast track it or, you know, you kind of cook for shooting.
Right.
But I think because you have the back history of actually being a chef, you understand, the intrinsic qualities of food and preparation.
Right.
And what it takes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting, like you could come at it from either angle. Did you come from a food background or a photography background?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably coming from a food background with some knowledge of photography would be ideal, right?
I mean, those people on shoot day, they're the ones under the... I mean, we're all standing around like...
Oh, yeah, they're the ones working.
Yeah, they're the ones working their ass off, you know? And it's, you know, you've only got so much time in the day, right? And you need time to manipulate, you need time to play, you need time to figure out composition and layout. It's a little bit of improv comedy, but they're the ones that are like just under the gun.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, where
the photographer is more or less set up, might have to move some things around.
Yeah, if you do
a
good
clicking
pre-pro.
A button, you know.
Yeah.
And then we're just standing at a monitor going,
move.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Or let's move this here. You know, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely the food stylist. They got ovens on. They're going.
Yeah. Well, and it's when we'll do a pre-pro. So it's we know we needed to do XYZ during the day. We'll do a deck. We'll go over with clients. You know, hey, here's what to expect during the day. Here's what's realistic. Here's what we're gonna aim for. Here's what prioritization. You know, if something needs to drop off because something else takes longer. You know, I mean, it is like improv comedy. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts, and it's not a science. You know, and you got to kind of work within, with the pre-pro, you set everything up as much as you can.
Yeah, but you got to be a little flexible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's where not only on shoot day, but the day before, it's, recipe creation, you know?
Sure.
Ideation around, what if you guys did this? Or what if we did that? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I know you wanted this Alfredo dish and da-da-da-da-da, but what about these capers or these?
Right.
This and that, or what, you know what I mean? I'm just making things up right now, but like all these different things. And then, you know, hey, 7 o'clock in the morning, shoot day, you're at a grocery store potentially
buying
old stuff. Uh-huh. You know, like, exactly. I mean, you got to have all your options, you know, and it's, you know, these tomatoes are too small, these tomatoes are too big, you know, or what, you know, you got to have all, you know, so they really are worth their weight in gold for sure, you know.
Yeah.
And always helpful to have an assistant for the stylist as well, so that they can keep going faster. But again, a lot of that's contingent on client budgets and things.
Sure.
So, but
it's an interesting field for sure.
Yeah. They're always. I mean, good ones are. You got to work around their schedule to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You know. But it's a fun part of the job. I mean, shoot days are always fun. You know, we love working on food and beverage. I mean, it's definitely one of our. verticals that we play in a lot.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So a lot of food and beverage, a lot of stuff in the grocery store, which is super fun. So
yeah,
all right. Well, hey, I guess that's it for probably food photography or weird little tips and tricks and thoughts for the day. Right?
Maybe we could always do another one.
Yeah,
get a food stylist on here and
yeah, for sure.
That would be fascinating.
That would be fun. Yeah. It would be fun. All right, where can everybody find us, Kyler?
They can find us. Our website is mocktheagency.com, and you can find us on social at mocktheagency.
Sweet. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll chat with you next time.